Chapter 2. At the same time Darren Wu was dropping dead on the highest floor of the guild house, several stories down, Kiva Lagos was fighting the temptation to throw someone through one of its windows. "The fuck did you just say?" Kiva said to the man sitting on the other side of the desk from her. The man, Bogging Hoivel, senior trade negotiator for the House of Wolf, didn't blink.
"You heard me perfectly well, Lady Kiva. The House of Wolf intends to renegotiate our contracts with the House of Nahamapitan, of which you are the administrator. We would prefer those negotiations be handled positively and in the spirit of cooperation and mutual benefit. But if that's not possible, and by your response I can see that it might not be, then we'll be more than happy to file a suit in the Guild Court to seek relief."
"On what grounds exactly?"
"On the grounds that civilization is collapsing, Lady Kiva."
Kiva glanced over at Senia Fundapalonen, who was a lawyer for the House of Nahamapitan. Well, had been one until the Countess Nahamapitan accidentally had her shot while trying to assassinate Kiva, at which point Senia had switched sides and come to work for Kiva, who was now in charge of the House of Nahamapitan because the Countess was in jail on account of treason. Kiva had put Fundapalonen in charge of the House of Nahamapitan's legal department. And also, Kiva and Fundapalonen were totally doing it, and doing it well. Really, it was all kind of sudden and complicated, and Fundapalonen read her glance perfectly.
"The contracts between our houses have no clause for any alleged collapse of civilization, Mr. Hoivel," she said.
"They do, however, have clauses regarding force majeure," Hoivel said.
"Force fucking majeure?"
Kiva exclaimed. "I didn't put the word fucking in there, but otherwise, yes."
"Force majeure is for when an unspotted space rock suddenly destroys a whole fucking habitat," Kiva said.
"That is one example," Hoivel agreed. "We argue the collapse of civilization is another."
"The key word is suddenly."
"Actually, the keywords are collapse of civilization."
"Lady Kiva is correct," Fundapalonen interjected. "Force majeure is about unforeseen and unexpected events."
"Yes, like the collapse of our entire civilization," Hoivel said.
"Fucking years from now," Kiva said.
"During a time span in which significant elements of the contracts between our houses will not be able to be executed, exposing the House of Wolf to significant civil and financial liability," Hoivel said, raising a finger for emphasis. "If the current best estimates for the condition of the flow streams within the interdependency are correct, then the House of Wolf will, through no fault of its own and entirely contingent upon forces that are not within its control, begin to default on its contractual obligations in ways that expose it to unacceptable levels of risk."
"Which is your problem?"
Hoivel nodded.
"I agree it is a problem. I don't agree that it is only our problem. And the House of Wolf is willing to go to court to make that argument."
"The Guild Court is not exactly known for its receptiveness to novel interpretation of contractual law," Fundapalonen pointed out. "There's several hundred years of case law that strongly suggests that if you file this suit, what will happen is that you're laughed out of court, and your client will end up paying our legal fees plus a significant penalty."
"That's one possibility," Hoivel said. "The other possibility is that the Guild Court will recognize that several hundred years of case law means nothing when the interdependency is confronting an existential threat to its existence that literally has no parallel in all of recorded history."
"You're expecting a lot from the Guild Court."
Hoivel shrugged. "They're trapped by this collapse just as much as any of the rest of us. We're off the map entirely." He turned his attention back to Kiva. "But as I said at the outset, we don't actually want to have to go to court at all. We're ready to renegotiate in goodwill to the benefit of both of our houses."
"That's not what you said." Kiva stared back stonily at Hoivel. "What you said was, the House of Wolf intends to renegotiate these contracts or go to court."
"Yes," Hoivel said. "So?"
"So you came here to tell me what was going to happen, not to ask for my help to make it happen."
"Obviously, we will need your help to make it happen."
It was Kiva's turn to hold up a finger.
"But you weren't asking for it. You were telling me what was going to happen and expecting me to go along with it like it was already a done deal."
"I'm not sure why that matters."
It matters because you fucking pissed me off, Kiva said. I don't like when people come into my office and tell me how I'm going to do things, as if I don't have a say in the matter, and preemptively threaten to drag me into court to try to coerce my compliance.
Lady Kiva, if I came across in such a manner, I apologize. It was unintentional.
And now you've just fucking pissed me off twice because you're pretending like you did this shit accidentally. You're a grown adult and the senior trade negotiator for an entire fucking house. And yes, the House of Wolf is a truly minor fucking house. Hey, but even a minor fucking house has the resources to hire someone competent. So, either you've managed to hide your absolute fucking incompetence from the House of Wolf long enough to shit yourself upward into your current position, or you knew what you were doing the moment you sat down in that fucking chair and decided to insult my intelligence. So which is it?
Hoivel blinked and then asked, why do you care?
About your competence? I don't, but I'm sure your boss might.
No, I mean, why do you care about this?
This contract?
What do you mean?
The Countess Nohama Peten tried to murder you, Lady Kiva, Hoivel said.
Funda Polonin shifted uneasily in her chair at this. She had been the one hit by the bullet intended for Kiva, and it was only in the last week that she'd been cleared to go back to work. Her shoulder was still fucked up and in the slow process of healing.
The House of Nohama Peten is a house of traitors. Its head is in prison, and its heirs are missing or dead. You're in charge because it was assigned to you by the Emperor. You have no allegiance to this house, my lady.
So what if this contract is renegotiated? The worst-case scenario is that the House of Nohama Peten makes a slightly less immensely large pile of money than it did before. This traitor house?
I don't understand what the problem is here.
Kiva nodded at this and stood up and came around the desk to Hoivel. Hoivel glanced over to Funda Polonin uncertainly. Funda Polonin shook her head ever so slightly, as if to say, too late to escape now. Kiva bent over to put herself eye to eye with Hoivel.
Well, since you asked, she said, I care because the Emperor told me to care. I care because aside from the fucking Nohama Petens, this house employs hundreds of thousands of people who now have to rely on me to look out for their best interest. I care because although you will never know this, running a whole fucking house is an immense responsibility. And maybe, I don't know, I would like to be seen as good at my fucking job. I care because despite the name on the door, this is my fucking house now. I care because when you come into my house, into my office, and tell me what is going to happen, you insult me and you insult my house. And since I can tell you're not the sort to show any actual goddamn initiative on your own part, you fucking cognitive mud fart, I care that your shitty little house is insulting me and my house, both of my houses, since I am still of House fucking Lagos. I care because I fucking care. And you and your shitty little house have picked the absolute wrong fucking individual to try to push around. Is this clear enough for you now, Mr. Hoivel? Or should I use smaller fucking words for you?
No, I get it, Hoivel said.
Good.
Kiva straightened up and leaned up against her desk.
Then here's what you're going to do. You're going to go back to your bosses and tell them that the House of Nohama Peten thanks them for the offer, and our counteroffer is that the House of Wolf goes and fucks itself sideways because we're not agreeing to change a single fucking comma in our current contracts. If the House of Wolf wants to file a suit with the guild courts, they can go right ahead because the House of Nohama Peten will tie that shit up. Not only until the collapse of the flow, but until the actual heat death of the observable fucking universe.
Kiva turned to Funda Polonin.
We have the resources for that, right?
Oh, yes, said Funda Polonin.
Kiva turned back to Hoivel.
So, if you want your great-great-great-grandchildren working on this as the oxygen leaks out of their habitat, go to court with this force majeure crap. We'll be there watching them turn blue. Until then, get the fuck out of my office.
I enjoy watching you work, Fundapalonen said after Hoivel got the fuck out of Kiva's office.
This isn't the last time we'll see this, Kiva said.
The force majeure strategy? Probably not,
Fundapalonen gestured toward the direction that Hoivel had fucked off.
The House of Wolf isn't known for innovative legal strategies. I don't think they thought it up on their own. If they didn't, you can bet that someone else has already filed a case with the Guild Court. I can have someone follow up on it. Do that.
Okay,
Fundapalonen made a note. Of course,
this does raise the question of why you care.
Kiva squinted at Fundapalonen.
Not you too.
Fundapalonen smiled at this.
I know why you cared when it involved you in this house, she said.
You caring when it doesn't involve you is notable. That doesn't sound great.
You're supremely self-interested.
That's not bad or good, it just is.
So if you're interested in this, you're thinking about how it's a pain in the ass for you.
It's a pain in the ass for me because that odious shitbug isn't wrong, Kiva said. The collapse of the flow is coming. If the Guild Court decides that the collapse of civilization means contracts are null, that's chaos.
You suddenly don't like chaos?
I don't like it when it's not working for me.
See, this is what I mean by self-interested.
In this case, it wouldn't be working for anyone, Kiva said. If the Guild Court lets one of these suits get by, it'll kick the legs out from our entire economic system.
Not like, say, the collapse of the flow.
The end is coming, Kiva said. I'm not sure why we want it to come faster. She pointed in the direction Hoivel had left. People will fucking starve because of him or someone like him.
To be fair to poor Mr. Hoivel, he was only following orders, and he was fulfilling his fiduciary duty, Fundapalonen said. If you told me to go to some other house with the same foolish plan, I'd be obliged to do it.
I hope you'd punch me in the face first.
My shoulder is still messed up. I'd have to kick you in the ass instead.
You'd still do it.
At this point, I don't think I'd have to. You're self-interested, but it seems your self-interest has expanded somewhat, at least temporarily.
Don't get used to it.
I won't.
Fundapalonen got up out of her chair, using her uninjured arm to steady herself as she did so.
In the meantime, I'll head back to legal to get a team together to respond, just in case the House of Wolf hasn't had the fear of Kiva Lagos sufficiently instilled into it. What about you?
Kiva looked at her desk clock. I have to catch a shuttle to Xi'an in half an hour. Fucking executive committee meeting. Fundapalonen smiled. You can't fool me. You love being on that. Kiva grunted at that. The executive committee consisted of 3 ministers of parliament, 3 members of the Church of the Interdependency, and 3 members of the guild houses. Kiva had been drafted to it after a coup attempt against the Emperor ensnarled roughly a third of the houses. The Emperor decided she needed a safe vote on the committee, and Kiva was it. Kiva was aware of the irony of her, of all people, being a safe vote.
You should bring up your concerns about this force majeure nonsense at the meeting, Fundapalonen said. Either Greyland or the Parliament can cut it off at the pass.
The Guild Court wouldn't like that, Kiva said. The Guild Court was notoriously prickly about its perceived independence.
No, they wouldn't, Fundapalonen agreed. But that's not your problem.
She left and Kiva watched her go, in part because she was enjoying the view and in part because she was still thinking about the showdown they'd just had with fucking Hoivel. Senia Fundapalonen was not wrong about Kiva. Kiva was extremely self-interested. Senia thought that was neither good nor bad, but Kiva was of a different mind about that. She thought it was pretty much the only way to be in a universe that didn't care about anyone's life, one way or another, and in a civilization that was designed to keep the rich as possible and the poor from actively starving so they wouldn't think to rise up and behead the rich. An uncaring universe and a fundamentally static civilization would smother anyone who didn't keep themselves and their own concerns front and center. Her policy of fuck you, what's in it for me, had taken her in the space of a couple of years from being the mostly superfluous 6th child of an only moderately influential noblewoman to being the de facto head of one of the most powerful houses in the Interdependency,
as well as having a seat on the executive committee and the favor of the emperor. Admittedly, Kiva's philosophy of pragmatic, committed selfishness wouldn't work as well for just about anyone else as it had for her, but fuck them, they weren't Kiva, which, again, was right to the point. For all that, the higher up Kiva had ascended the steps of power, the more she realized that her policy of selfishness had, shall we say, certain limits. Perhaps in a different era, when in fact civilization was not just a few short years from falling down a deep, dark fucking hole, she could have contentedly continued on a path of self-regard, secure in the knowledge that ultimately it wouldn't matter what she did anyway. She was just a speck of animated carbon that would be eternally inanimate soon enough. So, might as well go ahead and have another muffin, or lay that cute redhead, or whatever. The universe was not intentionally designed to absorb Kiva's selfishness, but it certainly wasn't hurt by it in any noticeable way. But Kiva was aware that her time now was not that time. Her time was human civilization fucking imploding, taking the individual humans with it, including her. The time span she was likely to be around, barring assassination, unintentional overdoses, and falls down flights of stairs, now exceeded that of the civilization she lived in, which meant that some portion of her life, possibly decades, would become exceedingly fucking uncomfortable unless things were done by people in positions of power to avoid that. The thing was, it was turning out that people in positions in power were, well, extremely self-interested, just like Kiva was, which again would be fine if human civilization was not coming to an actual fucking end. But it actually fucking was, so it was a problem. And it was how you got things like bogging fucking shit-toad Hoival and his similarly feculent amphibian bosses, happy to throw the economic underpinnings of society under a bus in order to save a few marks that won't matter anyway when civilization collapsed and their plump, soggy asses started looking tasty to the starving crowds. Bogging fucking shit-toad Hoival and his bosses weren't thinking about anything other than what was in it for them in the very short term. Kiva couldn't say that she was fundamentally any different, or hadn't been until possibly right around the time Hoival opened his smarmy little mouth. But she did realize that at the moment, the number of fundamentally selfish and self-interested people that human civilization could tolerate, particularly in the social tranche that could actually have an impact on the fate of humanity, had shrunk considerably. Kiva had been struck by a realization that if not exactly an epiphany, was certainly enough to make her stop in her tracks. Either she was going to have to become less fundamentally selfish, or she was going to have to find a way to make others less so. Obviously, she didn't want to become less selfish. To reiterate, being fundamentally selfish had worked out great for her, and she saw no reason to change things up. To be completely honest about it, what she really wanted to do at this very moment was take Senia home and fuck her brains out, because if Kiva was going to try out this whole monogamy thing for a change, and she was, then she wanted to get full value out of it. And while, yes, Senia was likely to get some benefit out of that, and, well, had if her testimonials were to be believed, that's not why Kiva was doing it. She was doing it for herself. Doing things, and Senia, for herself, was working out great for everyone. Therefore, it had to be others who were going to have to make a change, which was going to be a challenge. It's not like anyone else who was fundamentally selfish wanted to change what they were doing either. More relevantly, Kiva recognized something else. Things had reached a certain tipping point for selfish and self-interested human beings. As far as Kiva could tell, whenever selfish humans encountered a wrenching, life-altering crisis, they embarked on a journey of 5 distinct stages. 1. Denial. 2. Denial. 3. Denial. 4. Fucking denial. 5. Oh shit, everything is terrible, grab what you can and run. Bogging Hoival's appearance in her office and his strategy of attack suggested that phase 5 was well and truly underway. This would make things more difficult for Kiva, as people committed to grabbing as much as they could before everything went to shit were resistant to a sudden shift to altruism, which was fine. Kiva liked a challenge. The door to Kiva's office opened, and Bunton Solanodon, her executive assistant, came through.
Lady Kiva, he said.
Time to head to the shuttle, Kiva said to him.
No,
Solanodon said, and then held up a hand to correct himself.
Yes, but that's not why I came in.
Then why did you?
News from the House of Wu.
What is it? The Emperor was a member of the House of Wu, even if she didn't involve herself in its day-to-day affairs. It was possible this had something to do with her.
Is this about the Emperor?
Solanodon shook his head.
It's Darren Wu.
Oh, that piece of shit. Speaking of the self-interested, Darren Wu was a real piece of work on that score.
What about him? He's dead.
Dead?
Murdered.
That wasn't me.
I was not aware that anyone would suspect you, Lady Kiva.
Do we know who did it?
Not yet.
Well, does the Emperor know? About any of this?